now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs like the XPS 16 powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Daddy's hosting today, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The conversation surrounding Caitlin Clark.
Big time contact afterwards between Carter and Clark.
Let's not forget that she probably has arguably the most pressure.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Coming up, 13-year NFL veteran cornerback, Patrick Peterson. Actor, Kelly O'Coy. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in this hour. Also in this hour, we'll discuss the WNBA action from over the weekend with Caitlin Clark getting to business. Kennedy Carter back in the WNBA herself, welcoming the rookie. There's lots to talk about on that front. It really took up much of the conversation over the weekend on the Twitterverse. So we'll hit that on this program. Hour number three, Kelly O'Coy, one of our favorites from Billions and also The Americans. He's in Clipped, which is the new FX show that is exclusively on Hulu, which you can see right here on the Roku channel and Roku portal. He plays the longtime executive of the front office of the Los Angeles Clippers in Clipped. And can't wait to chat with him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, as I mentioned. Top of the show, we talked about Justin Jefferson finally getting the bag. So it does only make sense to have some LSU pride on display back here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready for year 14 in the National Football League, should he so want. He is joining us back here on the program. Patrick Peterson is here. Good to see you, Patrick. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And yourself, Richie?
I am good. I am checking out the gear here that you are wearing on your Zoom. What's that logo on your golf shirt, Patrick? What is that?
That's my logo, P2. Yeah,
that, right, I see that. And then the hat says good bogey, Patrick. There's such a thing?
There is such a thing. I'm about to go golfing right after I get off this Zoom with you.
Okay.
And I may have a good bogey today. I may be in the trees, and it might be a hard shot to get back on the onto the green. So I may have to take my medicine, punch out into the fairway, and go from there. So there is a such thing as a good bogey.
Okay, very good. Normally, but good bogeys are for players who aren't all that good, like me, for instance. And I've got a shot to show you. Hoskins, I didn't expect him to wear a good bogey hat. Can you show him that golf shot I hit on National Golf Links just a couple of weeks ago? Patrick, have you played National Golf Links of America in beautiful Southampton, New York? It is incredible. Founded in 1909, it's one of those old school links. It's really special. Right next door to Shinnecock. I'm playing this course. It's a par three, about $125. There's a wind from left to right. I grab a 9-iron, decide I'm just going to lay off it a little bit. And oh my gosh, the thing damn near went right in the hole. You could see it's right behind it. And maybe you could even see to the right of the cup is an indentation. That's where the ball landed. I damn near two-handed slammed it. On this hole, have you ever had an ace? You ever had an ace, Patrick?
Nah, Rich. I came close a couple of times, but did you make that putt?
Well, here's the thing. Interesting follow-up question. Interesting follow-up question. My first shot on the hole, I topped it 40 yards and was so livid, I just re-pegged in front of all of my comrades. And I said, this is just going to, I can't do this on a par three at National Golf Links of America. And that was my second shot. And I did one putt. Okay. Actually, they didn't even, they just said, that's good. They just said, pick it up. They gave it to me. And that was, so is that a good bogey or a bad one? You know, what would you
Richie, that is a good bogey.
Good bogey.
That's a damn good bogey.
See, but what it did is it also made me rethink my future golf playing. Because had I actually jarred that when I was just that far away from doing it, what would I have told people? Is that a hole in one?
You made a par. Yeah, you made a par.
On a hole in one, though. Right?
No, you made a par.
Oh, my God. That would have been bad news, right? Could you imagine?
Right.
My parents like, hey, you hold it out on six. I'm like, well.
And then, Richie, that would have been the best par ever.
Oh my God! Yeah. By the way, Xander Schauffele, I told him that story. And what did he say? What did he say?
Schauffele said that, like, yeah, who cares?
He said to lie about it.
Yeah, just lie.
He said I should lie about it. And he won the PGA Championship, Patrick.
I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, for your own good, I guess you can lie about it, but. You're Rich Eisen. Like, you're not going to lie about making a fake hole in one.
I have a reputation. You're not wrong. You know, and there's a tight shot. That's how close I came to having this issue. Tight. Yeah, I love it. Patrick Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. So other than playing golf, what's your mindset for the summer here, Patrick? What are you going on here? What do you think?
Man, you know, Richie, I'm staying in shape. You know, I'm doing everything that I need to do to if the phone does ring, because I do have a desire to play a 14th season in the NFL. But, you know, that decision is not in my hands, you know, so I'm going to do everything that I need to do to make sure that I am prepared if the phone does ring.
Do you have teams on a radar screen? Or are they on yours? You on theirs right now, Patrick?
You know, early on in the throughout the free agency process, obviously, you know, how much I love, you know, Coach Tomlin and, yes. and the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and Joey Porter, and I want to be around his growth throughout his young NFL career. You know, Coach Zimmer there in Dallas, had a couple conversations with them. But I think it's just going to come down to see how guys, how the team is, you know, how the team is looking after mini camps. You know, now that team guys are in OTAs, they're trying to still, you know, move a couple guys around and see how the roster is going to be looking going into training camp. So those are two teams right now that, you know, that we had conversations with, but we'll see where it goes.
So maybe you got to get training camp underway and see how things shake out. And then maybe your phone rings mid-August or something like that. That's the plan pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's looking like. And as of right now, you know, because like I said, teams are, you know, they're well underway in OTAs. You don't really see many signings during this period. You'll start seeing a couple guys come off the board, you know, mid July, late July. And like you said, once, you know, injuries start to happen throughout camp, never want that to happen to anyone.
Of course
but
not.
We do play a physical sport.
No, I understand that. And you won't say this, so I'll say it for you, because you don't want it to come across like that you're cutting any corners here. Because you're not. You look great. But you're going to be 34 in July. You don't need to be living in a dorm for 2 weeks. You know, that's fine if you show up. If you show up mid-August. Yeah. Like, you're a grown-ass man. You don't need to be on some college campus in some dorm, you know, at age 34
you know,
in the middle of August. What the hell?
Man, you know, Rich, that. I really enjoyed that time, though. You know, with me, you know, obviously having the love and the aspirations of building, you know, a championship team and just being around the guys, that's almost my favorite time of the year. You know, a lot of guys dread the training camp portion of gearing up for the season, but that's the time that you have an opportunity to get closer with the guys. That's the time you have an opportunity to get to learn the guys, because these guys you're going to be around, you know, in the heat of battle. You know, so you want to get the opportunity to know what pushes their buttons. You know, what type of head they have when the kitchen is hot. You know, so you know those are the moments that I really really enjoy. You know, about football. You know, the practices, you know, being in training camp, being in the locker room, the games, it is what it is, but just being the process, the grind, what it takes to get to that goal that you set out for yourself at the beginning of the season.
So I guess, you know, you kind of answered my next question a little bit, Patrick Peterson, but I'll ask it anyway. Why do you want to play at year 14? Why do you want to do it?
Because that was always my goal. That was always my goal, Rich, when I, even as a kid, you know, I always wanted to play at least 14 seasons. And here was, and this is why I picked that number 14, because like I always had dreams, you know, and goals to be one of the best to ever play, you know, to be and to be hopefully enshrined in the Football Hall of Fame. And when you look at these guys' resumes, you know, majority of these guys played 12 plus years, you know, made multiple Pro Bowls, being on, you know, whatever decade team that they were in at their time, you know, making all pro teams, you know. So with me being a football lover, I wanted to know what it would take for me to reach those requirements, you know. So that was year 14. 14 was just a number that I was just set on, that I felt that I needed to hit to really solidify my career.
Patrick Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you have any contact at all with Jaden Daniels last year? You know, being an LSU guy, any reach out or anything like that with the new
man? No,
QB?
I had not reached out to Jaden Daniels last year at all. But here's a quick story.
Sure.
I knew Jaden when he was in at Arizona State because I was playing in Arizona at the time. And we, my marketer, my social media marketer, Alex Guerrero, at the time, I believe he was, you know, doing some small stuff for him, for his community, for his charity, helping him and his mom out throughout the community. And we crossed paths a couple times. So that was the only time that I really had opportunity to really sit down and speak with Jaden. But for the most part, his career at LSU was just unbelievable. The what he was able to do last year and the steps that he was able to make from the previous year. You know, it was just remarkable to see the steps that and the strides that he was able to make to solidify himself as a Heisman Trophy winner and this second overall pick for the Washington Commanders. So it's going to be interesting to see how his career ended up panning out. I do love his skill set. I think he I thought he was the best quarterback as far as overall skill set, pocket presence, going through the process of reading the routes. I just thought he was the best all-around quarterback in this 2024 draft. So we'll see how it all end up coming into fruition throughout this season. But he had a hell of a run with the Tigers, man. I was happy to see that he brought home the Heisman Trophy.
Is that the same Alex Guerrero of Tom Brady fame you're referring
no,
to?
No. I pull his leg all the time about that. I said, you're not... Okay. Tom Brady, Alex Guerrero. You're just a normal Alex Guerrero.
Good. I had to follow up. I got it. And Justin Jefferson got the bag, Patrick. I mean, he got the bag and then some. I imagine, have you ever, you know, lined up against him? I'm trying to figure this out. Practice? Did that happen or something like that? Or
oh,
what?
Man. I mean, we lined up against each other time and time again, you know, and just to see him finally get what he has deserved. Just a remarkable 4 years to the start of his career. He deserved every penny that Minnesota gave him. And just to be with him for those 2 years in Minnesota, just to see the growth, just to see the maturity level. And he already had maturity when I've known Justin since he was 11 years old, because me and his brother Jordan Jefferson was roommates at LSU. So I've known Justin for forever, you know. So to see how his career and his how his career has unfolded and to see that is paying off for him, being like you have here the Offensive Player of the Year in 2022. The leading receiver, I believe he was leading receiver in 2022 as well.
Oh yeah,
just remarkable numbers, and he's just only going to continue to get better because he loved the game of football and the drive that he have is just going to just it's just inevitable for him to continue to be who we are.
Oh, I mean, he's incredible, Patrick. I mean, I mean, he in those 2 years you played with him, he set the record for most receiving yards in the history of the first 2 years of the NFL. And he broke Odell's mark. Does that mean he had to give Odell the $100 back, Patrick?
That's what it was in the locker room.
I don't know. I mean, he was handing them out. I don't know if it's probably multiple hundreds, but in all seriousness, though, I mean, he's incredibly talented, clearly. Yeah. But it takes more than that to do what he did and has done. So, what did you see in the first 2 years where you're like, okay, or you must have known it when he was an 11-year-old? I don't know if he, you know, is an 11-year-old. You thought, okay, he's got something. But I mean, right. what is it? What makes this kid tick like this? Do you think?
Man,
you
can share? I have to say his older brothers, Ricky and Justin, you know, they really, really pushed him. You know how it is being a younger brother, you know, of brothers that probably, you know, that played sports. They're always going to not bully you, but push you around a little bit, push your buttons to see how you react to certain things. And I believe that's what helped drive Justin to where he is right now. And his mom, his parents, you know, John and Miss Elaine, been around them forever, and they're just great people in general, you know, so they would never let Justin steer off or veer off on the wrong path, you know, so he just has a great head on his shoulders, a great support team around him. And like I said earlier, he just loved the game of football. That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to play football and put good film out there each and every time he set his cleats out there on the football field.
All right, last one for you. If you're willing to share your favorite Tomlin story from last year. I mean, you got to play for him. And you won. I imagine you already mentioned you wouldn't mind playing for him again, so I understand. I'm asking a potential third rail subject here. But you got a good one that you can share with me about playing with Tomlin from last year?
Yeah, I got one. It was probably the first raining day in training camp. And, you know, this is my first year in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You know, I hear all the cliche about, like, it don't matter what the weather is. It can be only time we're coming inside unless it thunders or thundering and lightning. So I'm like, God, dog, man, look, the sky's about to fall. So we still got practice. The horn's still blowing, this, that, another. So coach calls us up. He said, hey, man, I just want to get in front of this right now. Yeah, we got bad weather. But there's going to be some point in time in the season to where on Sunday it's going to be bad weather. And if you're not prepared for it, how do you expect to succeed in it? And I was like, damn, I never thought about that, because you always think about you want to have the ideal weather when you're in training camp. And, you know, some head coaches may be like, all right, we're not going out there today. We're not doing this. We're going to take it inside, maybe change it up to a walkthrough. Or maybe get the work in later on in the afternoon. Not Coach T. He said, we're going to get this work in. We're going to prepare ourselves just in case we have to cross this road, you know, at that time. And we crossed that road a couple times this last season, and the team was well prepared. You know, so it's just things like that, you know, being around Coach Tomlin for those 9.5 months or however long we was together. You know, I had the opportunity to learn so much from him. I had the opportunity to learn how he geared himself up each and every day, and have the guys laser focused on the main goal each and every time they walk into that building. So, shout out to Coach Tomlin, man. He's definitely a Hall of Fame head coach. And one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was a brutal day in Baltimore in the final week of the season,
yeah,
where your team had a win to make the playoffs. It was brutal. It was awful.
Exactly.
There you have it. Like, on the most important game of the season to that point, no question about it.
Hey, Pat, and Rich, to go back, that's exactly how practice was. To be so honest with you, that's exactly how practice was. It was raining just like that nonstop. And Latrobe, the wind was blowing, so it wasn't like cold, but you know, when it's raining and the wind's blowing, it feels kind of cold. So it was almost identical to that Baltimore game.
There you go. Hit him straight. I hope it's the good weather there in Georgia today, right? It's not.
Yes,
good?
Sir, it is.
You're good? Okay.
It's nice weather, 75 and sunny, baby.
All right, 75. That's also going to be your score, right, Patrick? You're gonna, right?
Yeah, that's what I average. I'm going for 73 today. I'm getting ready for a members guest tournament here. Okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm trying to go even part of that.
Are you going to are you going to GHIN.com or whatever it is? Is that where you're going right now?
Yeah, I'm looking them up.
What do we got? All right. Yeah, not that we're checking your work
solid
here, Patrick.
I'm a solid three. Look it up.
Okay.
All right.
Cover three. We're playing cover three today. Is that what we got? All right. He's hydrating too, so he's going to be able to be walking the course. You look great, dude. All right.
Ooh, this says he was a 5.3, Patrick. You better update your GIN number.
Yeah, 5.3.
Hey, so I'm getting ready. I'm pulling a Larry Fitzgerald. I'm getting ready for the member guest tournament, so I want at least, because I haven't really practiced as much, so I need as many strokes as I can.
What do you mean you're pulling a Larry Fitzgerald? What are you talking about?
Oh,
what?
I'm sorry. That flipped out.
So Larry's not on the up and up, because you want to talk reputation. I mean, he's unbesmirchable. Like, we can't. What happened?
Hey, I'm sorry. That slipped out. That slipped out, Rich. Shout out to Larry Fitzgerald, man. My guy. Forevermore.
Huh. Okay. Just shave a little bit off, is what you're saying. Or add a little on, Add a little on.
Want to add a couple.
Okay. Yards after the catch, is what you're saying. He's got the yak. His GIN number. Okay, very good. He's famous for that. Patrick, you're the man. You be well. Let's catch up soon.
You guys too, man. Ladies always and great, Richard.
The great at P2, everybody. Patrick Peterson. Peterson. Always good catching up with him.
Good bogey.
Oh.
Good bogey. Interesting.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry,
yeah. I'm pulling a Larry, which means I got to get ready for a member guest, so I got a balloon.
I thought you were two. No, I'm a five.
I'm a five. We're just checking homework. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What is happening with Caitlin Clark in the WNBA rookie season that has so many eyeballs on it? That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Figured we should re-hit this again today, the moment in the COVID draft when the Vikings were on the clock after learning Jalen Reagor was chosen right before they were going to choose Justin Jefferson. The Eagles did what they did, and this was captured on Zoom. Might as well replay it on the day Justin Jefferson hit it.
You go the receiver at 22, or you get a corner at 25.
What corner's going to be?
I know if we can move back at 25, we're going to get one of these corners.
You think?
Yeah, the corners are sitting there.
He's going to take a receiver too, right?
Meanwhile, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. You thought they might go wide receiver. We've seen some wide receivers go off the board. It certainly seems like this would be a need that they need to fill.
All right, pick is in. We're on the clock. Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, TCU to the Eagles.
There's no reaction here.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat.
I'm on it.
Nice.
Get Justin Jefferson on the clock right now.
Like immediately.
I'm on it. Like, wow. 30 seconds.
Gary, you love this kid?
Yeah, dude, coach. Love him. He's well versed in our offense already.
Gary
coach.
Kubiak.
He can play a lot of places. Very competitive. I mean, this is really cool.
Good.
We're picking right now. We'll pick a receiver.
How about that?
Woo! All right. Rick, I got Justin Jefferson, receiver, Louisiana State.
Hey, that's a great get.
That's what makes this stuff fun. Like when Tim calls a double-A Cam Blitzen, the second quarterback.
You know, we've got another pick coming up in about three things now.
Yeah, I know. I'm fine. I got the receiver. We don't need any defensive guys.
Nice.
No, I'm used to it.
You can probably play corner, too.
Yeah, you can play corner, too, Zim.
Yeah, great get indeed. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Ben in Austin, Texas, been hanging on. What's up, Ben? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? Happy Monday to you. Happy NBA Finals week.
Same to you.
Thank you. Just wanted to share some thoughts on the matchup from the perspective of a Mavs fan and actually give Brockman some props for his insight. First of the Mavs, I think one critical ingredient that most of the media is missing is chemistry. You can tell that this team really, really loves one another. And it's my opinion that, you know, beyond the requisite talent, great teams are built on two things: the desire for one another to succeed and the commitment to a shared goal. Post-trade deadline, I would argue that the Mavs exude those characteristics more than maybe any other team in the league. Second, despite Boston's really, really impressive defensive capabilities, I think Dallas's knacks for exploiting the paint were exposed some holes there, and that could end up being the difference in the series. And then third, Luka really thrives off hostility, and, you know, as Mannix noted, I think this has a chance to be a legendarily toxic series. And those tend to work in our favor, as that allows Luka to really focus on those in the stands instead of the ones that are in the stripes, which has been great to see over the last couple of months. So, and then finally, in the week before the playoffs, while you were you had stepped off the dais, Rich, one Chris Brockman called out the Mavs for being a really big threat, and those thoughts were seriously discounted by those sitting in your seat. So, despite Brockman rooting for Minnesota to extend the series and somehow give Boston an easier path to the finals, I wanted to give him props for seeing what Mavs fans have been witnessing for the last month, and that's a very serious threat to win it all.
Ben in Austin with interesting breakdown. Thank you for the call there. Well done. And in terms of giving Brockman his props for being accurate, I should also mention to counterbalance that, Overreaction Monday's coming up in hour number three.
I'm going to have some Luka prop in there. Okay. I believe it was Jim Jackson and TJ Jefferson who said I was crazy for thinking that Dallas was going to beat the Clippers.
Hey, no.
I don't remember that at all. It was so long ago, I can't remember. I don't remember that. I do remember Brockman sending me a text message saying, hey, do you remember I said this? And
did not. He conveniently forgot it.
To Ben's point, too, about the inside the paint, Luka is one of the best lob throwers in the league. Yes. And they've got two great finishers around the rim, which is why Porzingis' health and him being back in that lineup is so important for Boston, because he's such a good rim protector. You know, Al Horford can't continue to play 57,000 minutes a game. So,
is that what he's averaging
now?
I think so. That's interesting. Yeah. That's averaging 57,000 minutes.
That's a lot.
So let's get to the story of the weekend, which it certainly was, which is the WNBA and Caitlin Clark taking on the Chicago Sky at home. And, you know, Angel Reese is in this game and Camilla Cardozo is in this game. And she had some history while she was at Iowa with these two players, since they prevented her from winning a championship while she had a generationally brilliant college career. So we all know what she did at Iowa, right? And the conversation has been nonstop throughout the first few weeks of her professional career at the WNBA, which has more people focused on, it because of Caitlin Clark's presence in it. And a lot of the conversation, Charles Barkley even said that the her colleagues were being petty for knocking her around and treating her the way in which she's being treated on the court. And then the seeming disrespect that they're giving her either on the court or off it. And this came to a big time fore over this weekend when Kennedy Carter gave her some a little bit of the business, just knocked her over or knocked her hard enough that Caitlin Clark flopped. However you want to take a look at it, this needs some sort of context to it in many different ways. One, Carter is a former fourth overall selection in this association and is on her third team. She's had to play in Turkey twice. She has been disinvited from being on her two previous teams due to conduct not detrimental and things of that nature. And another thing that you should also needs to be mentioned is prior to Kennedy giving the business to Caitlin Clark, on the other end of the floor, Clark was verbally giving it to Carter. This happened. You need to see the whole thing. And so
no one ever does.
So. For me to set up this soundbite, you need to kind of understand everything that's going on here. And after the game, in which Carter was only assessed a common foul, which, by the way, the WNBA looked at over the weekend and upgraded to a flagrant one, which means she's now got a point on her.
I don't get that.
On her resume. Well, what do you mean you don't get it?
Well,
it shouldn't have been a common foul in the first place.
Well, yeah,
this is uncommon.
View that got worse over the weekend.
Of course,
like, come on.
Well,
man,
they did is they rectified a bad choice that was made by the officials on the court and whoever is involved in looking at it in real time. I mean, what's common about this is a rookie getting some grief from somebody who has been in this league beforehand and may have some issues with what she perceives is attention the rookie does not deserve. I'll offer some pushback on that in a moment. But this was Carter next to Cardoso and Teresa Witherspoon, their coach, after the game, asked about the moment.
Kennedy, on the play before bumping in with Caitlin, it seemed like she turned to you a little bit after the fever score.
I answered no Caitlin Clark questions.
Did she say anything to you?
I don't know what she said.
What'd you say to her?
I didn't say anything.
That's enough.
That's enough, says the coach. Not going to answer any Caitlin Clark questions. Caitlin Clark was asked about the moment herself after the game. Hit it.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, but I think it's just like, just respond, come down, let your play do the talking. It is what it is. It's a physical game. Go make the free throw and then execute on offense. And I feel like that's kind of what we did, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know.
Now then, Caitlin Clark had the last laugh. She actually won the game, which may be part of the reason why Carter didn't want to answer any Caitlin Clark questions either. The Fever did win. And so I will just say all of this, especially since Kennedy Carter doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down on her X account as well as her Threads account.
Hey.
Nicole Auerbach, who covers the sport and many sports for The Athletic, screen grab this one. She was responding to somebody who posted that soundbite we just played on the air, talking about how kudos to all of this women. They have really made WNBA interesting, and I'm looking forward to the post-game drama with some fire emojis. And she wrote, and that's that on that, because beside three-point shooting, what does she bring to the table, man, with a crying emoji? And Teresa Witherspoon's statement from today. I did not know there was a statement today, so there's a statement today. Physical play, intensity, and competitive spirit are hallmarks of Chicago Sky basketball. Kennedy got caught up in the heat of moment in an effort to win the game. She and I have discussed what happened and that it was not appropriate, nor it is what we do or who we are. Kennedy understands that there are better ways to handle situations on the court, and she will learn from this, as we all will. As a team, we will grow together and continue to work hard to display strong leadership and set a positive example for our competitors, fans, and partners, head coach Teresa Witherspoon. Because Angel Reese did not speak after the game. She got fined $1,000 for that. The Sky got fined $5,000 for that. And Angel was also seen really happy with Carter for what she did on the court. So here's just a couple of things that I want to say on this. First, is I do not mind this at all. 100%. As a matter of fact, in my estimation, this is what's missing from the NBA, where jerseys are swapped.
A little too buddy-buddy in the NBA.
I miss this part of the NBA, where there is bad blood and people don't like each other. And it's fine. I kind of dig it. Now, you could say that it gets people talking about it, like us, which is very important in this world where there's a lot of attention for eyeballs and so many different members of so many different media platforms. I don't mind this at all. You know, do I want my daughter doing this on the court? Of course not. And I will, like Coach Witherspoon, take my daughter aside and let's not do this. We're not doing this. But I don't mind it. The thing I mind is, where the hell were Caitlin Clark's teammates? Where the hell were they?
There was one standing right there.
I forget who it was. Was it Alyssa Boston who picked her up? Is that who that was?
Aaliyah
Boston who went and picked her up? But. I mean, is that... I don't know who... I don't know what happened, but if I'm... I'm Clark. I'm wondering, where the hell was the cavalry here? Like, this is a moment to, you know, bow up. Now, there's a difference between, and in terms of, you know, Clark being targeted or whatever, you know, this is what happens to rookies, I think, in leagues and associations.
Yeah.
And it's also not new to the WNBA. Do you remember when Candace Parker was a rookie? In one of her first games, she's in Detroit. Lambeer and Mahorn were involved in this because they were on the coaching staff.
Player coaches, right?
And she got tangled up. Like I forget who did it.
Right,
but
right.
Knocked her over, and Lisa Leslie was involved, and there was like a damn near brawl. There was like a brawl. Candace Parker got knocked around. Like, this has happened in the WNBA. So... I mean, this is what happens, and I think we're all just kind of surprised, a lot of us, because we're new here again, we're just new here, period, and we know what Caitlin Clark brings in terms of eyeballs here, and maybe we're kind of stunned that her colleagues are not, you know, giving her a little bit of a break, you know? I don't know if Carter is the right, you know, spokesperson for this, since she's been essentially sent off by two of her previous teams. She's on her third team. But just to let her know what does she do other than threes? I've seen a game of hers this year. Her passing ability is sublime, to say the least. She is incredible. And plus, there's also something called fans in the seats and charter flights. What has she done? Like, you can't deny that. So it's just kind of stunning to me that somebody who goes up the next day in Brooklyn in her next game, and just take a look at what she brings to the game here, just as a fresh reminder. Like, why would anybody have a problem with this? What do you think? She's doing this just to show off that she's a good person, but look at all these little girls that are just jacked up to take a picture. And I don't know how she went up to them, or a lot of them are wearing Indiana Fever gear or Iowa gear, but I just know my 10-year-old daughter would lose her mind if Caitlin Clark just walked up and said, you want to take a picture? As she did before the game. By the way, after which she scored just 3 points. The Liberty crushed the Fever yesterday, crushed them, and did the what I saw the Sparks do to her the other night, which was pick her up 94 feet. Because they know, I mean, if you want to beat the Fever, you got to take her out. And she's strong enough. She'll be fine. And I'm sure there'll be more days like the one in Brooklyn and the one that the Sky gave her. But where were her teammates? Shouldn't they have just, like, surrounded Carter and just said, this is not on our floor. You do not do this on our floor to one of our teammates, let alone Caitlin Clark?
That's pretty surprising. I don't know if it's indicative of anything, more just shocked that it happened and they didn't respond right away.
I don't think she's getting more of the business than any other heralded rookie would be coming into any professional sports league.
The focus is on her, so now anything that happens, even though it's happened.
But is there jealousy? I don't know.
I would say 1,000%
there's jealousy. Sure there is some jealousy. I would say overall, I would imagine the percentage of those jealous is much, much lower than those who aren't jealous, I would hope. But yeah, I mean, these things happen all the time, and it's just because the focus is on her. Now everything that happens is going to be blown up. And the fact that, like, more people are just paying attention this year. So these little things happen. But it's almost like with Kennedy, it's like if Draymond does something like that, right? You sit there and go, okay, that's Draymond. That's not really indicative of how the entire league feels or how his entire... It's like one person did something that's kind of par for the course. And I think maybe with Carter, it's kind of like something she's done. She's been kicked off a team for wanting to fight a teammate before. She grew up with three brothers. She plays the game hard and tough. And they see this girl getting all this attention. They want to test her and test themselves.
Clark gave, you know, was verbally, you know, giving her the business up the floor. And look, so she chose the wrong look. That's what I'm saying. I don't mind.
We're talking WNBA. We never did that before. So anything that puts eyes on the league and I'm makes people talk.
That's because of Clark. I think
it's a good thing.
We're talking about it because of her.
Well, but let's not disrespect again. Cameron Brink, and the women's college game has gotten to a point where there are several bold-faced names that are recognizable that are going into this league right now, but there's only one that beat Pistol Pete's record for all-time scoring. Okay,
I mean, I remember Sabrina Ionescu was like that girl, right. And she's Caitlin the
one.
Clark came
she's
in.
The one who basically said after they destroyed the Fever yesterday that, hey, you know, we know how to. What'd she say? We got to cut off the head of the team, and that's stopping Caitlin Clark. So you know,
I like it. I like physical ball.
But Carter scored like 30 points in a game in her rookie season. She was a Rookie of the Year candidate. She got hurt in her rookie season, and things have just gone totally devolved until, you know, I hadn't heard much about her or of her until yesterday.
Oh, Kent Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot going on is basically what I'm saying.
Going on.
So, but first, I'm just saying, don't mind it. It's par for the course, I think. But where were her teammates? That's what I thought.
Well, it's going to happen again. So we'll see where they are next time. This isn't an isolated incident. It's going to keep happening.
Right.
But also, it's Angel Reese. The same thing happened to her a few games before.
Oh, yeah, no, like, she got mugged.
These rookie girls are, they're kind of getting the business because they are like the golden girls.
Girls
almost,
are mean.
So.
Dude,
yeah. So are guys, but not enough in the NBA. I'm telling you, I miss this.
Tell you, women.
Like, I miss this. I'd rather see this in the NBA than jersey swaps. Seriously.
I told you guys before, in Altoona, women's basketball is big. I can remember being in high school. The women's coach would have some of us boys practice against the girls. Yeah. And, bro, I got beat up in those prep. Like, women are physical. They ain't out there playing, man. It's not a game. I mean, it's a game, but you know what I'm saying.
We're not talking about practice. We're talking about a game. All right. We're taking a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kelly O'Coin of the new FX on Hulu show Clipped will be joining us in hour number three. Your phone calls as well as Overreaction Monday still to come. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantee's also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. That scene was unbelievable to finally see pieced together after it was shot over, my God, an entire calendar day in New York City.
I told you, I broke my rib on the first take of the first shot of the day.
Now, I can't believe it. Are you serious?
It's crazy. We rehearsed that thing for, we choreographed the hell out of it and we rehearsed it for a month. We had it down. But then, you know, you get in front of the cameras, they're actually rolling, and 300 extras, adrenaline gets going, and he tagged me, and I thought, that's not good. But it didn't really, it wasn't agonizing until the next day. So, you know, I'd love to be able to say I pulled a canter and pulled through excruciating pain. No, it wasn't that bad until the next day.
Because I couldn't tell at all. I mean, nobody.
That's great.
I couldn't tell at all. Were you medicating yourself throughout the day, Kelly?
I had a lot of ibuprofen, and there was a medic on the set who sort of felt it. People kept telling me, Jontay Wilder, who was in my corner, was like, no, I don't think it's broken. You wouldn't be able to move right now. And then afterwards, I thought, well, his threshold of pain is probably a little higher than mine. but there was a medic on set who felt around, and she was like, she felt this little ka-chunking, and she was like, you know, that's not good.
Mm. So you asked Deontay Wilder for, you know, he doesn't play a doctor, he's not one on TV, but clearly he is somebody who might have been injured in a ring at some point in his life. You, Kelly O'Coin, asked him for just a little bit of a diagnosis on the spot?
I think I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it might be broken. And he just, you know, he didn't say it's not. I think he just said, nah, I don't think so.
Making a return appearance this time in studio, hour three, Kelly O'Coin back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game Time tickets, get the app on a mobile device right near you. Certainly if you're going to be in the Boston area or the Metroplex area over the next couple weeks and you want to go to a basketball finals game, Game Time tickets is the spot for you because you get to see a view from your seat. The prices actually go down on the Game Time app. The closer it gets to tip off, you get to also get all-in prices. So before you hit the purchase button, you know it. It's exactly what it's going to cost you. Lowest price guarantee, killer last minute deals. Game Time takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball finals tickets. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem the code RICH and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Steve in Indiana has called in. What's up, Steve?
I got through.
You Rich, did?
Love your guys' show.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just calling to comment on the outstanding officiating in the WNBA. I got to tell you, everybody complains about the NBA, but that was an embarrassment. So, Caitlin Clark as Diana Taurasi so aptly said before she even played one game, you're going to have your welcome to the NBA moment.
Yep.
And she had it.
She had it. She's been having it.
Welcome to the WNBA. But where were her teammates? Where was her coach? And the only thing I can equate back to that is I'm from Indiana. I'm back from the ABA days where everybody had everybody's back. But then to fast forward, like Cheryl told Reggie, man up, baby. This is the big leagues.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Really appreciate you calling. And thank you. That's Steve in Indiana right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we're going to be talking about it quite a bit. Just want to finish up hour two with something that shocked all of us. You told us right before we went on the air, TJ, you saw it online. Larry Allen, the Hall of Fame offensive lineman and guard, one of the best ever Hall of Famer, the Dallas Cowboys, died at the age of 52 when he passed away on vacation in Mexico. Is that what happened?
Yeah, the Cowboys released a statement saying he passed away suddenly while on vacation with his family.
Just horrible.
Terrible.
One of the best Hall of Fame speeches in recent days. He was telling stories about how he and his wife were right for each other. And, you know, he didn't say much in his playing days.
You didn't have to.
Right? I know, right? But that's why it was kind of surprising how terrific he was at, giving his Hall of Fame speech. It was wonderful to see him get his due. I, as you know, started my career in Northern California, in Redding, California, in 1994. And when I got there and I started meeting some folks from the area, they were telling me about this kid out of Butte College that the Dallas Cowboys had just gotten. His name was Larry Allen. He was good. Butte College, the community college where Jeff Tedford found Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And that's up there in Northern California. And they were talking about Larry Allen, like, watch this kid, watch him. And boy, did we watch him. I think if you had to name the top five favorite athletes, because he was an athlete, he would run down guys who seemed to be heading for the end zone on a pick six.
That clip is going viral right now against the Saints where he goes all the way across the field and tackles him before he scores.
If you had to name the top five guys that John Madden loved talking about, I think Larry Allen's in the top five.
You might be right.
Pancake blocks.
Boom. I mean, honestly, yeah. He would talk about him and love his play and how vicious he was. He was nasty, but he was great. I'm sure he got a few turkey legs in his day.
Absolutely.
From Madden. And age 52, gone too soon.
You know, Emmett posted a video, haven't been able to hear it, just watching it, and just he's
got to be broken up.
He's
yeah, I got to call Irv later.
He's destroyed right now. Yeah. I can't hear it. I'm going to listen to it during the break. But man, Larry Allen was a guy who bench pressed 700 pounds. He was as imposing and intimidating of a force as there ever was.
And as lovely a gentle giant and a teammate as clearly you're seeing the reaction of those who he won Super Bowls with. 14 seasons, two with the Niners as well. Larry Allen dying suddenly while on vacation at the age of 52. And we just wanted to send our condolences to his no doubt shocked and dismayed family. And his extended family and the Cowboys family as well.
Yeah, much love to 73.
May he rest in peace. That wraps up hour number two of this program. Coming up on hour number three, your phone calls as well here on this Monday edition of the show.
Yeah, Emmett posted a nearly four-minute video, looks like, on Instagram.
So there's all of that. We have Kelly O'Coin joining us in studio in hour number three. He's going to talk about your Los Angeles Clippers, TJ, although not stuff that you probably want to be talked about. Just in time for the Intuit Dome to be open. Let's close this chapter, right?
Yeah, move on.
Amen. FX does really good work on stuff like this. And it's called Clipped. Tomorrow we've got Ed O'Neill in studio. He plays Donald Sterling.
Yeah. See, that's the problem, man.
Because you love Ed O'Neill.
And I'm gonna have to boo this man for like 3-4 episodes of this show.
Jackie
man,
Weaver obviously. Plays his wife, and she
for
looks.
What side, is that it?
She just looks like, just like her.
Just like Joey.
And Lawrence Fishburne is Doc Rivers.
And Cleopatra Coleman, yes. As V. Stiviano.
V. Stiviano.
Cleopatra.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I went to that playoff game right after that happened. Remember all that? Because this was during the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was wild.
And they were threatening not to play the playoff game until something happened.
Came up out for warm-ups, threw their jerseys in the pile.
It was nuts.
Well, I can't wait to see this show. It debuts tomorrow night on Hulu, which is available right here on the Roku portal. So Kelly O'Coin is joining us in hour number three. Your phone calls. I've got the best case scenarios for NFC East teams and Overreaction Monday. We got a busy third hour coming up.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.